Okay, so can we just start off by having you say your name, the district you represented, and the years you were in office?
My name is Eddie Cavazos. I represented the Nueces County, the city of Corpus Christi, and I served from 1983 to 1995.
Great, and what was your background before serving in the House?
I was a realtor. I had my own real estate business in Corpus.
Great.
Independent businessman.
And so what sparked your interest in running for office?
Well, you know, I've always been asked that question, and I got involved in politics when John Kennedy got elected for president. And I worked myself up from go get coffee, pick up this, go get this, to eventually going out looking for candidates and helping in campaigns, organized campaigns. And one day they did a fast one on me. They asked me to a meeting to talk about a new candidate, and I went expecting to meet somebody that's going to run for office, and they told me that I was going to be the one running for office. And I didn't want to be honest with you, but that's where it all started.
Great. And what aspects of your service are you most proud of?
Well, there's several things. One of the things that people always ask me, what's the one thing you won't forget? But it's the friends that you make, the people you meet, people from all parts of the state, all kinds of different careers and everything. And it's just people that I would have never met if I hadn't been elected. And I'm talking about regardless of their politics and so forth. It's just good people that I serve with. The other thing is just, you know, being able to have an impact on doing something positive in your opinion and working for those things. There's a lot of causes, and sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. I remember that one of the causes that I worked real hard at that I could never get passed, and it just got passed in the Senate this past week, is requiring seatbelts on school buses. So I started with that back in the 80s on that thing.
Wow.
But the memories are fantastic.
Uh-huh. Who were some of the more influential or memorable members that you...
There were so many. A lot of them went to Congress, you know, to other offices around the country, I mean, around the state. The difference that I was just talking to somebody earlier, when I served, you could have a debate on the floor about an issue with somebody, and it get real heated debate. I mean... for 20, 30 minutes. But once the debate was over and the vote was over, we were still friends. We still ate dinner together, went out and had a drink together, whatever. Nowadays, it's so partisan that if you're on one side, you stay on that side and we stay on this side. And that's what I think is so much different than that. So a lot of my friends, I was a Democrat, a lot of my friends were Republicans because they were good people. I've always made it a point to When I make a friend, I don't care how they vote. That's their personal business. And, you know, people always ask me, how do I get respect here? Then you guys would come in. I said, well, the first thing you have to do is give respect. You might not agree with somebody. You might not agree nothing with somebody on one particular issue or several issues. But they're trying to do what they think is right. You try to do what you think is right. And you both work at it. But you stay friends after that. And that's what's so different today, the partisanship.
Right. And what were some of the issues that faced your constituents?
Well, you know, the biggest issue I worked, when I was serving in the 80s, there was a serious lack of opportunities in higher education in South Texas. There was only two PhD programs from the Valley to El Paso, south of San Antonio. My one-liner was, you know, A&I in Kingsville had a PhD in bilingual education, and UT El Paso had one in mining. So my one-liner was, if you want to be a bilingual miner in South Texas, you got it great. There's two programs ready for you. Other than that, there's nothing. So with a lot of help of a lot of people, I was able to pass legislation that brought both University of Texas and A&M to South Texas. A&M has a campus in Corpus, one in Kingsville and Laredo, and UT has a campus in the Valley. And that was all done on legislation that I sponsored, and a lot of people helped me get that. That was the biggest thing we had of lack of educational facilities. For example, if, let's say you went to, got your undergraduate degree, you got married, you moved to Corpus, and you wanted to pursue a master's or whatever, well, there was no opportunities, there was no programs. You had to move, leave your family, or, you know, travel back and forth, and it wasn't fair to people in Austin and Houston and Dallas and so forth. So that, and of course, the typical economical issues, bringing more jobs and so forth. But one of the economists told me that a four-year university will bring more jobs in the future to any community. And that has happened in Corpus because of the research dollars and so forth. We've gone from, when A&M came down, we were at like 2,000 students. Now we're at 15,000, 16,000, you know, growing. And so it has been a great pride of mine to have done that for Corpus and for South Texas.
Did you ever have a moment in the House where you thought, wow, I'm witnessing history right now?
Well, my first wow moment was the first day I got sworn in. And I lowered my right arm and I told myself, now what do I do? It's one thing to get elected and get here and get sworn in, and then you go, woo, what am I going to do now? But there were some great moments. I was fortunate to work with the late Governor Ann Richards. We became good friends, and we worked on a lot of issues together, insurance and so forth. We had some tough fights. We won some, we lost some. We had one time I orchestrated some members to walk off the floor and break a quorum because we were getting railroaded on what we thought was an issue, and we stopped everything in his tracks. And it was interesting. We had a small group of people, but we had an impact on it. And there was a lot of great people in here from both sides of the aisle. You know, back when I was serving, there was only a couple of Republicans. But you have to remember that Texas has always been a conservative state. So the conservative Democrats ran as Democrats because there was no infrastructure for Republicans to run, people like John Connally and so forth. They were all conservative, basically Republicans. So it was an interesting time of my life, and that's, I wish, to be honest with you, that everybody could serve. It's a great experience. You learn a lot about life, a lot about what people are suffering through. You hear about issues that you've never ever heard before. And, you know, it's like now you watch television, every commercial is about a new disease. You go, where are all these things coming from? But I remember coming up here, and my first big wow moment was when I served in appropriations. And I was interviewing the people from the Department of Highways, which is TxDOT now. And I'm going, how much money are you asking for? That's a lot of money, you know? And so it hits you when you realize the amount of money that you're spending, that's taxpayers' money. And I'll never forget that. To me, it was so important that you apply the taxpayers' money wisely, because it's, some of the members that came up here, you know, would fight for money thinking it was, you know, it's our money to spend, and, you know, it's not, and it's a big task to try to control the spending and so forth. And Texas has, the best thing ever is we have, you know, you can only spend what you have. And we don't have deficit spending, which has been great.
So I just have one final question, and that is, if you had to give advice to a freshman member, what would you say?
Listen, learn, be respectful, attend hearings, speak out when you have questions. Excuse me.
No, it's okay.
Apologize for that.
No, it's okay.
Turn that thing down. Listen, learn, you know, and the thing that they have to know that other members are watching you, lobbyists are watching you, leadership is watching you to see what kind of member you're going to be. If you go to a committee hearing, for example, and just sit there and do nothing, you know, they're not impressed with you. If you ask good questions, and what I mean by good questions, you've thought them out. You know, I learned the best question you can ask at a committee hearing is a question that you already know the answer to. See what kind of response you get from the person testifying. But it's just work hard, listen, learn, and stay involved. There's a lot of members that come and go, and they go to committee hearings for 5 minutes and they're gone. But everybody's watching you, especially when you're a freshman, just to see. My statement was always today's freshman or tomorrow's chairman, some of them. So you start looking, hey, this guy's sharp, or this woman is very smart, and things like that.
Right.
So if you think you're being ignored because nobody talks to you, but they're watching what you do or say.
Right. Well, great. Thank you so very much.
Apologize for the interruption.
Oh, that's totally fine.